This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
Undoubtedly, the greatest team the nation has ever seen. From a yard out, he couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo.
That was as clear as day. The goalkeeper hoping to get on the end of it. And a goal! He watched the ball all the way onto his forehead.
Who should know by now to try and keep his mouth shut if he's not happy with the referee.
What a story they are! Because it's that man's goal that separates the two sides.
You have my permission to scream.
Good team on paper. On FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to Good Team on Fabe.
Yay!
It's starting!
Fourth word!
It's a reasonably confident clip relation before this as well.
Oh. And we're starting again.
Good Team on Paper. On FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to Good Team on Paper, the show all about fantasy football. If I can read a script, that's what it's all about. It's been another game week. Rumour has it it's game week 11 this time, and what a week it has been.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It has definitely been a week, seven whole days.
I'm Mike. For some reason, I have been roped into producing this show. My fantasy football knowledge, or my football knowledge, is nothing. But that's why you guys are here. I have Rob, Deck, and Bundo in the studio. They are our team captains, our team managers, our team legends, as they were. Guys, hello.
Thank you. What an introduction. Wow. Well, apart from that first bit where you put
high
it
energy
up, you know, that was, that's great.
Well, we can start the show over again completely.
And no, we could do that for the next 45
like
minutes.
An infinite loop.
Yeah, that would just, it's kind of a ground.
Well, apparently there was a lot going on this week, so we really need to...
We need to crack on, mate, to be honest, you know, because football, I thought the football this week was incredible. But I don't know, like Rob has a difference from me. Do I have to introduce myself by the way? I'm Bundo. I know lots about fantasy football. Deck knows a bit more, Rob knows a bit less.
Bundo,
for any new listeners in there, really engaged now, aren't they? They're like, oh, what a cracker of a show.
Bundo, you really love a statistic, don't you? That's your thing.
I love a stat. And we're absolutely engaged with statistics this week.
Before we get on to football, can I just say something really great that happened? Planet Earth. Did you watch that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was better than football.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Oh, I was more gripped. Undoubtedly.
Those lizards, they were just...
What were you saying about that lizard and snakes?
The snake bastards.
Yeah.
Like you, I thought, that can't be real. That's CGI.
Just hundreds of the buggers.
Welcome to Good Team on Paper, the show all about fantasy football.
Man United shirts in Lincoln. They just appear out of nowhere.
There's that. And it looked like the lizard looked like Good Johnson for Burnley. Going down the wing, evading the defenders with Crystal Palace defenders.
Yeah, and it had him, but no, the snakes had actually tackled each other like Johnny Evans and whoever's next to Johnny Evans.
There we are. So there was definitely a link to football there, and that was a valid reference.
Great.
And the snakes could have represented agents. Political.
Or Trump supporters, more political.
Oh, I knew you were going to bring in politics. You were waiting for it, wasn't it?
But it's that's been, a valid...
There's no evidence they were racist.
It's been 3 minutes and 54 seconds, and we have managed to get a Trump reference in already. Yeah. Good work, guys.
Actually, can I just say, though, talking about... Do you think when the dinosaurs, who I believe saw the meteor coming and knew what was about to happen, do you think they sat around discussing fantasy football, going, yeah, the world is literally about to end, but do you know what? Let's talk about fantasy football.
Yeah, I think they were pretty forward-thinking.
They wanted to leave some kind of legacy, and it would have been a very strong game week.
Yes, true.
Oh, Stegosaurus, top of the
good feet for a big dinosaur.
Hey. Should we talk about the dream team?
If we have to.
The dream team.
Matthew.
Yep.
But all seeing Bundo, can you talk us through the dream team, please?
All right then. So we're just so interested in politics and planet Earth. Tiresomely bringing ourselves back to football. I'll run through it quickly so we can get back to Trump references. So we've got Courtois, Alonso, Dawson, Round the Horn, Swansea's finest. Hazard, well-named Spanish player Pedro, Bobby Firmin, only could be a footballer or would be on the dole, Snodgrass.
Oh, God.
Goodmanson, Ibrahimovic and great feat for a small man, Jermaine Defoe.
Not to 4-5-6.
The 4-5-6?
To 4, to 5, to 6.
Oh, there it is. I thought you were referring to a strange formation that you've just come up with.
That was a reference to one of our previous shows. Yeah. If you want to have a listen, foobarradio.com. Yeah, check out the podcast.
It's a back ref. Yeah. Though that was actually a reference to Stephen Defoe. Yes. Burnley midfielder.
So structurally, that was very sound.
But factually, not so sound.
Yeah, but I also did make reference to the idea that Defoe and Defoe were brothers who just pronounced their surname differently.
Oh, I remember when we had that racism chat. Yeah. So we've got Eden Hazard.
From management.
Eden Hazard. So I have to mention him out of the Dream Team, because not only is he the top scorer, but let's not forget, if you are looking back at the old shows available.
You called it. Yeah, you called it last week.
Called it. And I actually, Mike tried to stop me talking about it because I was so I was urging people so much, but I insisted on prolonging the point. And lo and behold, I think that was one of the best individual performances I've seen.
Matthew, have you got him in your team?
I haven't, but because I have the principle of
no, but theoretically you could, because they weren't in the top four.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, you're right. No, but I do it where I don't have ones that are realistic challenges to Liverpool.
If anyone's listening in right now, Matt Bundy's Bundo's entire world is falling apart in front of him.
So I could come there.
Yeah, because I mean, like, yeah, you know, last season's top four didn't include Man United or Chelsea.
For the listeners out there, do you want to explain your reasoning behind what your team is about?
Yeah, so I'm a Liverpool supporter, so I don't like to support teams that are directly against that team. And also, I'm really, really, really good at fantasy football. So playing with players, no players from last year's top four, makes it fair for everyone else. And that's why I'm lower mid-table at the moment.
He's also dreading the Worthington Cup tie against Leeds. I refuse to call it any of its new names. It's the Worthington Cup.
Is it sponsored by now? Like, the, it's going to be Caribou.
The Milk Cup.
Isn't it? It's going to be sponsored by like some like energy drink called Caribou.
Yeah, to me it will always be the Rumbelows Cup.
Yeah.
In conjunction with Simod.
What happened to Rumbelows? Those washing machine
It turns out
were
that what they'd rather do is rather than rent a TV to people, they'd rather charge them 900% interest and call themselves Mansion House or whatever they're called.
Well, you know, it's a valid business plan. Mm. So anyway,
if you like to extort money from poor people and you want to sponsor a show, fuck off.
Seconded.
Although we do have Stromer, which is pretty much doing the same thing.
You know. Well, yeah, but at least, you know,
at least
we get something out of that.
Delicious bittersweet cider. Mm. What were we talking about?
Hazard, or DJ Hazard.
DJ Hazard.
Yeah, he's a drum and bass DJ, for those who don't know.
Nice. I mean, I think
where does DJ Hazard normally perform? What are we talking?
He used to play at Fabric a lot, RIP. And he's a jump-up drum and bass DJ. He plays lots of wobbly stuff.
Mm. Is wobbly stuff a technical term?
That's what I call it, yeah. Ooh. I think it's quite horrible. Well, I can play some later if you want.
Well, that's where it goes.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. There you go. That's one of his songs.
There you are. If any record out there would like to sponsor that, then...
He signed to True Players, if you're anyone's name. Anyway, that's my other
True
job.
Players.
That's fine. I am.
But this one, Eden Hazard.
Let's stick to fantasy football rather than
I had an interesting dilemma this week with my fantasy team, in that my two goalkeepers are Courtois and Skettenberg.
Right, and which one did you go for?
Oh, the wrong one.
Yeah, good. Of course, yeah.
The one that just spent most of the game picking the ball out the back of his net, rather than the one that had to face one shot all game.
Well,
that second goal, he was completely at fault for. That was horrible.
Yeah,
that was really
done better. But I think that
no need to rub salt into the wounds.
I think the thing about that though is I obviously in fantasy football, going for a keeper who's going to be getting a lot of shots on goal and therefore gets points.
Tom Heaton,
of course, you know, a great keeper in a team where he's going to get lots of shots, and that's a valid tactic. But not this week, I'm afraid. But you know, I had him in as well. So let's all just and you probably had it. You're a little Everton supporter. Did you place your faith in your bold goalkeeper?
No, went for the defence. Jagielka -1 point. Delighted.
-1, dear me. How are you feeling about that game then, Deck, as a lifelong Everton fan?
Pretty gutted, mate, to be honest. The first time I saw them was at the Synod Cup final in 1988.
A classic Synod Cup final, I'm sure.
Nottingham Forest versus Everton.
Synod.
Yeah.
What, like the bishops, when bishops get together and decide a new
For a while, rule. They were trying to sort of improve their image. And so the Church of England started sponsoring big speeches.
Catholics weren't allowed in, though, were they? You know, we're not that desperate. So
political.
So, yeah, political and blasphemous. No, not blasphemous, just anti-religion. So I thought that the thing about Eden Hazard is, you know, he's got one of the, that running style he's got, you know, very low centre of gravity. He's got a bit of a Robbie Fowler arse on him. It's kind of slightly sat down into his arse. It kind of gives him like a bit of lateral movement. I didn't know if that was, is that a thing? Like a biomechanics thing?
Well, we're back to Rod Wallace. That Rod Wallace was a large bottomed gentleman.
That's right.
He still is. I mean, he's still with us.
I would imagine it's probably even larger.
If you've seen Rod Wallace's bottom over the last 6 months and would like to tweet us with an update, please tweet us at Rod Wallace's bottom at Twitter hashtag.
But if you've got any comments, good team
wherever, just tweet to the void.
The end is nigh, yeah. People.
Yeah, just
you might as well just send a carrier pigeon. You'll eventually get to the studio when it's like a dark carcass.
Mm. To be honest, having a show that's trying to get something trending on Twitter on the night of the US election, you know, is going to be relatively challenging, I'd imagine. So,
hang on, there's an election happening, you say?
We can't go into that. We haven't got time because there's four Chelsea players in this dream team, everyone.
All right,
four.
Okay. Who are they?
Courtois, Alonso, Pedro, Hazard.
Okay.
Has that become some kind of spot quiz? It was like,
and
again, a very
and
mean
why
teacher.
Are they so special?
Hang on. Can I just read the question that Bundo has put below this headline? Was it the best team performance in Premier League history? No.
Right, well, the reason I'm saying this, though, is that a quote that Mike found is that John Motson said, "This was the best 90-minute performance I have ever seen in the Premier League. I put it above anything I saw from Arsenal when they were at their best. I put it above Man United. This was football on another planet. I'm not going to be looking any further for the champions." So if you don't believe me, the legend John Motson, can he not persuade you?
He probably wears odd shoes to work these days. He's 150 years old. With all due respect to Motty, right, when you're sat there watching probably your, 5,000th game of football...
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But this must have been a really special game for him to say.
No, it was impressive. But you've got to also bear in mind who it was against. No offense.
Hang on.
No offense to Everton, but it was like watching Mike Tyson fight a child.
Two words: Dixie Dean.
And if you have watched Mike Tyson fight a child, give us a call. I'd really like to see that video. That'd be amazing.
Your response of Dixie Dean is that, was he playing left back at the time? No, because I didn't see anybody else doing it there.
No, it's, you know, you look at when Newcastle beat Man United 5-0. That was a Man United side of almost greatness.
Mm-hmm.
With all due respect to this current Everton side, you're not going to
accuse
them.
No one ever means they're giving due respect. When they start a thing, with all due respect, your mum is really ugly. Like, no one ever means they're giving any kind of due respect.
No one's being mean to your ugly mum today, Deck.
I haven't even seen her today.
Not since last night,
but
they do say that you go for a woman that's like your mum, hence your hideous wife.
That would be structurally sound if... not actually correct.
It's another throwback.
It's a structurally,
it's a great callback. It's a great callback, but it's not true.
It's like when he said, "No disrespect to Everton," like just before railing into them.
No, but I have to make this point. And Motty, great commentator, really knows his football. But that's a ridiculous statement to make.
I don't know. I mean, if it was the best performance in Premier League history, perhaps it would be also the most significant moment of the season so far.
The most significant moment of the season so far.
I mean, not to lead the witness or anything, but I imagine that would be something it could
The most significant moment of the season so far.
Just because you missed it there the first time doesn't mean you can keep playing it to make it up to me. Well, can I point out something else from the Chelsea performance? Pedro.
Mm.
Interesting discussion there. He's played very well the last three games. I mean, you come from Barcelona, you think he's going to be a superstar, and he's been pretty terrible, hasn't he?
I think the important thing to remember is, can he do it on a wet Wednesday night in Shrewsbury? True. That's the old adage, isn't it?
That is true. And I think now perhaps he could. You know, with a back three for Chelsea, giving him freedom going further up the pitch, perhaps.
Well, also, he's going from not really playing at Barcelona, around the best players in the world, to playing at Chelsea, around some players who are almost as good.
That's true. Can I give you a fun fact about Pedro? He's the only player ever to score in 6 different club competitions in one season. So that's 3 domestic club competitions, Champions League, UEFA Super Cup, and FIFA Club World Cup. So ever to score in 6 different club competitions. Is that interesting to anybody?
That's a good fact.
It's not a fun fact.
Is that a stat attack, Mike?
It could be if I found the right button.
This is a shambolic display, like Everton's defence.
Hang on.
Have we got? I don't think I've got anything else to say about Chelsea. I mean, it was a decent go. I mean, the thing I'd say though is that I actually think that it wasn't even the best team performance in the Premier League weekend. Never mind history.
Are you going to bring up the Liverpool. Reds of Merseyside?
I'm just saying, like, just empirically, it's a good job we weren't doing the show like last season. But you've got to say, Bobby Firmin in the dream team again.
Mm.
Absolutely deserved it. He scored 5 times and assisted and got 3 assists in his last 7 games. And he's a must-have. He's my captain, and he's the only thing keeping me off the bottom at the moment, unlike you, Dick.
Oh. Oh.
The only thing that's keeping me off the bottom is having a bit of a life. Yeah. Just going out, constantly being a complete lad.
That's a very fair point.
Matt, how many points
not
did
being
you
a lad.
Alienating all of our listeners. Very fair point.
Oh, yeah, but he parties so hard he gets Guinness lung, or whatever it was, kept you off.
I did get an infected lung a couple of weeks ago, and I would really like to be doing better at Fantasy Premier League. It genuinely breaks my heart that I'm bottom of this. If you'd like to join the league, please do. You could not do worse than I am. And coming in here makes me weep. Next week. It's an international weekend. The week after that.
Can't do any worse than anyone else on a.
That's the only thing that comes
to me. Non-game week. Yeah, that's true.
Matt, how did you do this week?
Oh, we're going into my team.
Yeah, why not? You already vaguely discussed it.
Well, as I say, like Bobby Firmin, captain again, always doing well for me. I had Defoe because.
But do I have to hand the crown over to you? Because I beat you all last week by miles, I'd like to say.
I don't think any of us who are actually on the show won very much. It was a guy called Jamie Heath.
Oh, Jammer! Yeah,
he was out tearing a new one.
Jammer
a new
is
one.
A hammer.
Is he?
Yeah.
Does he want a regular season ticket access for a very reasonable price?
I would imagine he already has one. But yeah, he's doing very well. Another 80-plus score for him this week. That's it's impressive. No two ways about it.
You look around.
So does he need the triumph of music?
Yeah, he can give him that.
Yeah, to be fair, well done, mate. Yeah,
Jamie
well
done, Heath. It's just a man. Just a a button pushing man. With a slightly wonky nose.
But every weekend he's a hero.
Yeah.
Anyway.
In his own lunchtime.
By day, mild-mannered Jamie Heath. By evening.
He's not mild-mannered.
Ah, that's a shame. Anyway, well done, Jamie. Them and Graham Billy. You know, the thing looking at their teams are, you know, they're good, they're solid, they're a little bit obvious.
Conventional, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, when I've got Jermaine Defoe up front, I recommended him again. Mm. Always going to keep scoring. In a bad side, but I had Lukaku in. I thought he was going to come back against his old club, you know, kind of write the headlines.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Yeah, and he didn't.
You mentioned Bobby Firmin, and in the wonderful notes you've written here, you've discussed that he is another great performance from Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, when you say notes, Mike, what we all know is that this show is entirely ad-libbed. But if we were picking something up...
But we need some talking points. They are written down in front of us.
Yeah. Okay,
most of them are kind of... At the moment, it's do not talk about Trump, Trump.
I did call Liverpool-Watford as a goal fest.
You did?
I did think it would be closer.
You did, and I said
I thought
I
the
couldn't.
Goals would be more evenly distributed.
That would be more, but not just on one side.
I mean, didn't write down what your prediction was, but okay, yeah.
It was 6-1.
It was. I said, you know, Watford will get an actually very good consolation goal.
Yeah.
But Liverpool did play. They played some electric stuff at times.
It's one of those things where
James Milner, the left back engine. driving everything forward. I think we can agree.
It's incredible. And Jordan Henderson, it's I've got to start for England.
They won 6-1 despite Jordan Henderson.
That's got a real thing against Jordan Henderson, haven't you? I mean,
I'm not going to pretend I haven't.
I think the thing about Liverpool with fantasy football angle is, you know, for Chelsea, they've got a lot of players playing well at the moment, but Hazard and Costa are still at the fulcrums of it. Whereas with Liverpool, it's completely evenly spread. I mean, you could have Coutinho, Firmino and Mane. Obviously, you can have a maximum of three players from every team in your squad. Everybody knows that. But I think that you could go for all three of them. I mean, you can take your pick, really. Lallana's a good option.
Oh, Adam Lallana.
I didn't come with you there, but no. but the
I fly solo.
I mean, Mane, he should have been on the list. I thought he had a great performance. Did you know that Sadio Mane, the Mane in the mirror, he has scored every time he's appeared at home for Liverpool. Loves Anfield, absolutely loves it. Goes to get his quick fish chips and curry sauce just right off the Anfield Road. Bumbles round.
Gets a little scally to guard his car. In other words, not key my car.
If there are any Merseysiders out there, I want to know what is the going rate for a Nissan Micra parked for the first half of a Liverpool game. Can they tweet us, Mike?
They can. At Good Team on Paper.
Yeah, on your stolen phone.
Yes.
Gotta be careful, you mister.
Last thing before we hit an ad break. Just quickly, here's a debate for you. Who's better, Liverpool or Chelsea?
Liverpool.
Chelsea.
Man City.
Play the advert.
And on that note,
Good Team on Paper on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, I'm the great Chordini. You probably know me best from scoring great game-changing Premier League goals for Watford. But my first love has always been the magical art of illusion. That's why for Christmas, I'm releasing the great Chordini's incredible box of tricks. Your child, or childlike human, will love this fun kit, including all my most famous tricks. The vanishing defender. The ball through the wall. And the rescinded red card. They're all in there. As is my crowd-pleasing, make the Champions League spot disappear trick. I pulled on both Man United and Chelsea last year. My illusions will surprise and astound your friends, family, or other captive audiences. So this Christmas, don't play on your ex's box or poker man. Buy the great Chordini's incredible box of tricks and let some magic into your life.
FUBAR Radio presents
When We Waffle with Terry Minor, Kat Fox and Laurie Peters.
Hiya, it's me, Professor Brian Cox. I'm here to plug When We Waffle, which is on FUBAR Radio on a Thursday. Is it 12 till 1, Laurie?
Yes, that's right, Brian.
Right, yeah. And that's Laurie Peters, Terry Minot and Kat Fox, When We Waffle on FUBAR Radio. It's science.
Every Thursday.
When We Waffle with Terry Minot, Kat Fox and Laurie Peters.
From 12 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Are you lonely? Do you need someone to gloat over? Do you know more than Mike about football? Then why not join our mini-league? As a part of this elite club, you'll receive exclusive bragging rights over your peers and strangers you can taunt over the internet. Want more? Well, join now and we'll waive the usual 10 grand entry fee. Just use the league code 636-272-790-456. Also, you receive a free beer should we ever meet in person and you remember to ask for one. That's the GTOP Mini League 636-272-790-456. What have you got to lose other than your last remaining tread of dignity? Players must be 9 months or over. No terms and conditions may apply. Any prizes on offer are purely fictional.
Good Team on Paper on FUBAR Radio.
And that is how we I don't know. Anyway, let's just catch up. That's fine.
That's how we make.
That's how we make adverts.
We allow some different brands to make. It's good that we've got new brands coming onto the the show to advertise. Although surprisingly, surprising voice from Troy Deeney there.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds, to all intents and purposes, like a middle class white guy. But. That's just his magician persona coming in.
Really looking forward to buying that kit, actually.
Yeah, you better get in there quick. It's going off the shelves faster than hatchlings. Yeah. Hatchlings, have you seen those fucking things?
What, small, like, ducklings?
No, hatchlings, it's like an egg
right.
that you give to a child. Right. Costs like 60 quid.
Right.
They have to look after it for a day, then it hatches, and then basically you've got a Furby.
So it's like a real-life Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
Right. For our older listeners.
And my Uber driver the other night.
Oh.
Because, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got an Uber.
That's where the budget's going.
Yeah. My Uber driver the other night, his day job is working in a toy shop. And I was talking to him about it, and he went, I managed to get one. It's like, of course you did. You work in a toy shop. He goes, no, you don't understand.
Oh.
These are rarer than hen's teeth, unicorn shit.
Oh, like, it's like the new Buzz Lightyear. It's that kind of like
Jermaine Jenner saying something insightful. It's rare.
There we are. Back to football. Enjoyed that.
Rather than moving on to the football wider world or football wider world football.
Such a.
Yes. Let's continue with the dream team.
There's so many interesting things to talk about, Mike.
Matthew's convinced there's lots of interesting things to talk about.
I could do this all night. Like, if you want to tune into a good team on paper extra, I'll be in my bedroom for the next 4 hours.
Well, can I go off topic? And it's football.
Of course you can.
Lionel Messi.
He's quite good.
He scored his 500th goal at the weekend.
500.
500th goal. And that's, I think, just for Barcelona.
Was that? Yeah, it is, definitely.
Right.
He didn't even go out on loan, did he?
No, but I mean, it's not including his international goals.
Oh.
He's no Dion Dublin, is he?
Well, no, but I mean...
I mean, have you seen him in the showers? He's got nothing on Dion Dublin.
Yeah, but he's closer to the ground, though, so he's got, like, the distance from the end of his cock to the ground is probably the same.
Well, we're living in an age where a man can score 500 goals, still be considerably younger than anyone in this room, and there is still debate about whether he's the best player in the world at the minute.
I don't see him in the Dream Week this week. No points at all.
Who is the best player in the world?
Well, it's obviously it's between him and Ronaldo, isn't it?
Lionel Messi.
Or Jordan Henderson.
Well, it depends who you're asking. If you're asking Jordan Henderson.
Talk to Klopp about his... we had a great interview with Klopp the other day about Jordan Henderson.
Yes.
You can check that out at footballradio.com. Check out the podcast.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. Klopp.
Yeah. Shared more than I anticipated.
Yeah. But you did ask him some very leading questions.
Mm. Well, you know, if Jordan Henderson's going to go bragging about his cock, I'm going to ask.
I thought you meant shared on Facebook. I was like, there's been at least two shares. That is how popular this is.
Good Munderson. What's he done?
No, I'm not going to go into that yet, mate. You can't force me to go down this list. Because I just want to talk about a last thing on Liverpool, and then you will indulge me, and then I'll shut up about Liverpool. Mm. So it's actually more about Watford, because they were absolutely abject against Liverpool. Obviously, as a fan, I'm going, weren't we amazing, fluid attacking football? Watford were absolutely horrendous.
They were toothless, weren't they?
That is, and this is a great fact. And this isn't from the BBC Sport website. It's that good.
So where did you get it from?
I went on a journey into Wikipedia, which led me on to these facts. So this was Watford's joint heaviest defeat in the Premier League. It's matched by a 5-0 loss to Wimbledon in December 1999, which you all remember very well. The great fact about that game was the goals were scored from people who had shirt numbers in order. So it had a guy with a shirt number 7, then 8, then 9, then 10, then 11. 11. So it went Carl Court, Robbie Earle, John Hartson, Jason Yule, and Marcus Gale. What an attacking force Wimbledon were in their day, weren't they? Just reeling off those names.
Mm-hmm.
Two failed pundits. And I think the last one, Marcus Gale, I remember that was a stunning 25 yard drive into the top corner. Some poor intern is probably going to have to find that clip and post it on Facebook with this voiceover on it. That'll be, and it'll get at least 3 hits.
Our substitute presenter Ali might have to do that. So
sorry, Ali, I can't help it. I'll get for some modern things.
That's actually reminded me of one of my favourite stories, is when Shola Amiobi was being interviewed and I can't remember whether it was for a magazine or for a TV show, And so you know, you're doing really well at Newcastle. And he goes, yeah, well, you know, it's great working under a manager like Bobby Robson. And he goes, so have you got a nickname? He goes, no, not really. He goes, so what does Bobby call you? Carl Court.
Good old-fashioned racism for a football legend there.
That is what does Bobby Robson call you? The name of the other black guy.
Yeah, that is it, yeah.
Is it either that or Rule Fox?
Rule Fox! I never thought we'd mention Rule Fox. I haven't thought about Rule Fox in many, many years. Like, but now I'm going to be thinking about him a lot.
That was back at a time when Norwich just kept producing. Not, I mean, yeah, great is an exaggeration, but grud players.
Yeah, it was like a breeding. It was like a stud farm around Wimbledon. It's not in Milton Keynes now, MK Dons. You don't see any talent coming through there.
Well,
if you're listening in, Delia Smith.
Dele Alli. Sorry.
Delia Smith? What?
Delia Smith, isn't she Norwich?
It's pronounced Dele Alli. can I continue going down the list? Different things.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, Gudmundsson as Gudmundsson. Gudmundsson. Everybody in Iceland is called like the son of some
or daughter.
Or the daughter. Sigmund's daughter.
Yeah,
I remember that. I think that was, you know, if we're talking about team performances this week, going to throw in, was Burnley's even better than Liverpool or Chelsea?
Best match of the weekend. In terms of it's the only one that had any excitement to it.
But what, you were saying it was a bit Jeopardy?
Yeah, Arsenal Spurs had a bit, but it felt very flat. But I thought Burnley Palace was actually quite exciting.
I enjoyed it.
Aided definitely by Palace's controversial non at the back regime.
Yeah. They were pouring, it was like that, they were pouring forward at the end so much. It was like that thing in Pro Evo where you used to press triangle when defending, and you just all, that would be a rush defence. So everybody would rush out, trying to play like a kind of Martin Keogh and Tony Adams offside trap, but when they're not even at your halfway line yet, just kind of setting off. And that breakaway goal at the end, I thought that was stunning. I mean, pace is not a thing you usually associate with Burnley. Usually poverty, but not pace. I've been a lot of Burnley games. I've got a lot of friends who are Burnley fans, but their urban deprivation can't be denied.
That is the first refuge of the racist. Some of my best friends are insert group here.
I thought you meant Burnley was Burnley. Yeah. I thought you meant Burnley was the first refuge of racist, which is not fair.
Well,
that too. Yeah. Mostly white team.
Britain first.
So what Vokes as well for Burnley, like they, I'm going to get, I think Burnley are a great side. I think Sean Dyche is doing a great job. I love him.
He eats gravel.
The Ginger Mourinho, as he's called on the terraces, which is now an insult.
I like the fact that he sounds like his voice is about to stop.
He's very raspy, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I mean Vokes could be a great pick, you know, Burnley all across. But I've got Ben Mee, the defender in my team, but he's always on the bench because I've not got that courage to say Burnley going to do it. But I don't know. I mean, I'd say he was like the lizard running away from snakes on planet Earth. Like, I think that's a good reference, and deserves a social media video made around it. Ali,
you can't.
He just looks over terror. He's like already like looking through for the 1999 Wimbledon goal.
You can't force these things.
No, you're right. Said Robin van Persie in an alleged incident in 2001.
Well, no. You know these stupid things you get on Facebook where you won't believe what happened to... And it, even though you know it's bullshit, you can't help but click it.
Yeah.
And the one about this weekend was Robin van Persie suffered an eye injury and it was like, he might lose his sight. Which was the first comment made before the doctors went, no, his sight's absolutely fine. He's just hurt
he
his
might,
eye.
But he hasn't. But I heard it was something horrendous, like a torn eyelid. Which just, it's like a kind of perforated Jap's eye. You know, it's one of those things you just don't really want to contemplate.
A split banjo string.
Yeah, oh, Christ. I mean, oh, God, that's actually, I don't think I can carry on.
When playing for the mighty Leeds United, Lee Bowyer. What a player. He had a shot that hit Gary Neville on the leg and bounced up, hit him in the face and detached his retina.
Ouch.
Oof.
6 weeks we were without him. He didn't miss a game while he was on trial for assault. He has a shot against Gary Neville and he's out for six bloody weeks.
I'll tell you what, this is an interesting thing then. This is not about the Dream Team, but nor has any of this been. But Mourinho this week calling out Luke Shaw and Chris Smalling for saying that they're claiming they're injured when they're not playing through the pain. Lee Boyer would definitely be Mourinho's kind of guy, wouldn't he?
He'd play through his pain, he'd play through anyone else's pain.
He'd be able to inflict pain on others and then play through it.
Allegedly.
Good to have you back. We need that in the show.
There's that great picture of Lee Bowyer with his with blood streaming out of his nose, screaming.
And outside of a nightclub in Leeds.
No, that's
allegedly.
And do you know why he had blood streaming from his face?
No.
He'd been elbowed by David Beckham. And David Beckham hadn't been sent off.
Legendary hard man, David Beckham. Yeah,
it's just another in the long line of conspiracies against Leeds United. I'll go into them at another time.
Was it Lebo when was he at West Ham when he had that fight on the pitch with
Kieran Newcastle?
Dyer? Newcastle.
I mean, in fairness, if I was close enough to Kieran Dyer to punch him in the face, I probably would.
Yeah. I think all of us would. In fact, if you are Kieran Dyer, I would like to come as a guest
like
in the show.
If you'd like to come into the office and get punched.
Just it's a kind of celebrity death match. That would be
The thing that got me about that incident was that, as far as I could tell, Kieran Dyer threw the first punch and Lee Bowyer hit him back. And Lee Bowyer apologised and got a 6-game ban. Kieran Dyer didn't and got a 1-game ban. Racism. I'm calling it.
That was nearly in my mouth to say, but then I thought, no, not me again.
Racism.
I did it. Like, Deck, you meant to say allegedly.
Definitely
I'm
not
calling
racism.
I'm calling it.
Just calling it. Can I just get? I tell you, I want to talk about that Mourinho thing. Like bugger the structure, Mike.
Okay,
that's
fine.
Like, we haven't got any sketches or any good ideas, you know. So let's just keep cracking.
Bundo's gone Maverick.
Yeah, I mean that Mourinho.
I say
thing,
we've got plenty of good ideas. They're all written in front of me. They're quite like to be kind of. Anyway,
I accidentally double printed the script this week, so there's like a thing at red at the bottom. Mourinho, when he calls out a player for not playing when he's injured, as a fantasy football manager, I would absolutely love to do that when a player who I have picked as captain decides to just slope off before the game. Do you think that's acceptable for a manager to do, though? Just say, just to call them out like that? It's a bit weird.
I think the manager should be the highest paid person at a club, and he should be. The absolute, he's his word should be the word of God, and therefore,
like mine.
Mm. Can I play you a quick clip very quickly?
Yeah,
to do with
please
God.
Do.
Today, the band Mourinho has to watch from the stands. He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
There we go.
And that's what happens when commentators attempt humour.
I think that is a genuinely funny reference, and one that I would have definitely quoted and claimed as my own.
But you'd have probably done a better Terry Jones impression.
That's
probably we hope you get better, Terry Jones, and if you don't, then we're thinking of you.
By the way, what would
I think you're great.
What would a Terry Jones impression be?
Right now it would be not appropriate to do on this podcast.
Yes.
We hope you get better and you're okay, Terry Jones. And you are an amazing part of my childhood.
Whereas Jose Mourinho.
Not in a BBC way. He wasn't an important part of your childhood in a BBC pop
Terry
picker's
Jones did
way.
Not at any point touch me when I was growing up.
No.
Apart from in your funny bones.
But if anyone did touch Deck when he was young, and would like to tweet into the show, then...
Tweet me at Michael McIntyre.
Look, there is no proof that Michael McIntyre did anything of any worth.
Back to what Rob said.
I think that the managers should be able to say absolutely whatever they want, because at the end of the day, they get fired. They're the people that get shifted on.
You're right, footballers don't get fired immediately.
No.
It waits until the end of the season.
And,
that's absolutely true.
And if I was in charge of a football team and I thought someone wasn't giving their all, and I'd said to them, first of all, I'd say it in private, and I assume that Mourinho has said something in private and not got the response he wanted. So he's publicly shamed them. I have no problem with that whatsoever. They're paid tens, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds a week. That should come with the turf.
I wonder, like, if he actually doesn't do that privately, if he's really, really nice and touchy feel with them, then goes on the TV and like slags them off, and they're just sitting there going, "Oh no!"
It does feel like a new thing, though, right? Like, it's not something he did that much at Chelsea. Like, it's he didn't complain about what he was living. He didn't start having a go at playing.
Yeah, but he wasn't living in Manchester, in fairness.
And he had John Terry, who would play on with one leg with the same level of effectiveness and same level of pace.
Much like Johnny Evans.
Johnny Evans should play on with one leg because... I'm not wishing him harm.
He's not against changing his mind, as the resurgence of Juan Mata has proved. Because everyone said Juan Mata's career is over at Man United as soon as he signed. And he's actually gone on to be an important part of the machinery.
Get straight to the heart of the matter. So the...
Wasn't that mediocre ITV drama?
Heart of the Matter would be an incredible documentary.
He is a heart surgeon.
She's matter.
German for mother.
Nice. Very cultured.
But
on the show
here's an interesting thing as well. So Man United in a slump, right? Sunderland in a slump.
Yeah.
Both their managers sent to the stands. Both win.
Yeah.
Are the managers the problem?
That's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, Sunderland were fluky as fuck.
That's true.
Their goal led a charmed life.
I think they're better without Moyes, just sitting up there. Who's the assistant manager at Sunderland? Must be just a man who's been in his shadow for too long and now is no, I know how to do this. And also, probably will be in charge in about 2 weeks when he loses the next one.
It'll be, Sunderland legend Michael Gray.
Oh, that'd be incredible. Can I say something about Sunderland, Mike? Yeah. Still interested?
Good. Yeah.
I've recently had a car factory order placed.
I think the thing about... Because Defoe, obviously, I love picking him. He's always going to get you goals. Victor Anichebe, you're as an Everton fan, don't you? You've got fond memories of the big man, have you? Was he good?
He wasn't. No, not really. Not hugely fond memories.
What are there any?
It's Anichebe as well. Sorry,
Anichebe.
I think we've had one striker who's ever been worthwhile, and it was Duncan Ferguson and Dixie Dean. That's it.
You're quite obsessed
two
with Dixie
Dean references.
And Romelu Lukaku. Yeah. That's the holy trinity.
That's all it is. What a front three that would be.
If you're Dixie Dean and you'd like to come back to life and play.
Yeah, but do you want at home
please,
right now?
Please tweet us. Please learn the basics of Twitter after you've resurrected yourself.
At home
your
right now.
Your first priority has to be social media, mate.
Tony Cotty is crestfallen at home.
I mean, fair point.
A goal every other game.
If I could doff my hat, if I was wearing a hat, I'd say I'd doff it to you. You're
Cotty
right.
Would be in there. Can you give me that? Anichebe, so you know what he's...
Anichebe. It's not difficult. Come on.
Anichebe.
Yeah, there we go.
Anichebe. He's trying to have a bit of a career in Aesons. He's failed
trying to have a bit of a career.
He's trying, God bless him. But I quite like the fact that Sunderland have got my favourite formation, my classic, the big man, small man. Defer and Anichebe because they were saying
Anichebe. Seriously, I'm going to correct you every time.
so Victor, Big Vic.
Yeah,
he's
built like a brick shit house, isn't he?
He's like,
my God,
is that who's the guy who's the beast? Afe Anikwabar, that one who plays
16 stone or 17
Akinfenwa.
Stone. Akinfenwa, the beast. Yeah, it's not a racist thing. I struggle with pronunciation. No, it's not.
My favourite ever nickname in that regard was Papa Booba Diop. Do you remember him from Fulham?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember his nickname?
No.
The Wardrobe.
Why? Because he dressed well or something? Or is he just...
No, because he was wide.
Okay.
He just...
Because he liked to get Victorian children to walk in
to visit lions. He liked to come out of it.
I saw you again there and I stole that from you. I really apologize. I was like, Dex's got this. He's got this.
Though it's obviously not the best nickname of all time, which belongs to Fitz Hall. One size.
And on that note,
that is a true story, Michael. I'm not making that up.
That is a great nickname.
And on that note, we're going to hit the ads.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
You have job need doing? You have man work? then you'll need men. And if you'll need men, you'll need Crazy Roman's Discount Player Emporium. Hi, I'm Crazy Roman Abramovich, billionaire oligarch, Chelsea owner and all-round nice guy. Over years, I accidentally accumulated too many player. Whoopsie! You know how it is when you go shopping, impulse buying a Danish centre-half at the counter. 10 million. Sorry for that. Well, my reckless spending could mean bargain for you. You have baby needs sitting? There's no safer pair of hands than Matej Dalak. 30 quid for night, plus whatever he wants from fridge. You have leaves? We have sweeper. Holland defender Nathan Aker. Just £10 hour, plus lift home. Need people for political flyering? They don't get more left-wing than Charlie Musondo Jr. or more right-wing than Christian Atsu. Pay them just pennies per flyer. Satisfaction guaranteed. I spent millions on players I don't even know I've got. So if you have job and can't be bothered to do, just call in to Crazy Roman's Discount Player Emporium. With over 70 players in stock, we have man for you. Thumbs up.
FUBAR Radio presents
Screen Talk with Dan Clark.
This is a very controversial thing to say because I know people adore this film, but I never liked Ferris Bueller.
Well, it's not the film itself, it's just I've watched it recently because someone was saying to me, I think you're insane for not liking that film, it's so good.
Yeah.
And I love all John Hughes' other films. And I re-watched it recently and the same feelings came back, which was he was the sort of kid I fucking hated at school. Not only is he massively privileged living in a huge house, yeah, but he's getting away with doing whatever he wants. Yeah.
Every Friday,
Screen Talk with Dan Clark.
From 12 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Next week, serialised in the Daily Mirror, the new autobiography from the Senegalese international who's taking the Premier League by storm. It's flying up the top seller list as fast as he flies up the wing. Yes, it's Mané on Mané, the real story of Sadio. It's a warts and all story as we show you the Mané behind the headlines. It's all about the Mané, Mané, Mané. It's all about the Mané, Mané, Mané. That's Mané in the Mirror on Monday.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
That's mainly it, Matt. I just like because of that
You like the way you mix that music.
Yeah, it's
Mané,
really
Mané.
Good. Yeah.
I mean, the creative service you provide for our advertisers is second to none.
I know, and the script writing amongst you guys is incredible too. So
because when we get a brief from a real brand.
Yeah,
like the Daily Mail. We like to write a creative solution. So if any brands are up for
creative
writing,
Strongbow, yeah, we're looking at you.
But can I just say to Daily Mirror and anyone that's ever hired Piers Morgan, you are the scum of the earth.
But you're very welcome.
You're very welcome sponsors. Just don't expect any favours. Yeah. Can I just before you go into what you're about to go into, can I just point out that I'm going to work on the assumption that everyone that made this transfer did so on my advice. Gungadin.
Yeah.
Most transferred in.
Yeah, you
and
called it.
I recommended him, and he did badly.
Whereas I said Hazard, and people ignored me to the tune of
and
about 4
well.
Million.
Yeah,
and
he did it, well.
Yeah, 4
do
million
you,
people were
do you want to do a quick stat
you.
Attack, Matt?
No.
Dummy, you're doing one anyway.
Stat attack.
The average points this week were 52. There were 4.38 million transfers. The most transferred in was Gunga Din. The most captain was Aguero. That's a nice rhyme, isn't it? Most transferred in, Gunga Din.
It's not his real name.
No, it's
not going to correct you on that because I can't say
it's like a bingo
thing,
isn't it?
Anichibi.
It's like a bingo one. Like Victor Anichibi.
Anichibi.
Four
for
men
God's
and a,
sake.
Three men and a baby. You know, we got like this is
73 Anichibi. That's how you remember it.
73 Anichibi. That now I remember it. That's a good venture. There were 92,000 wildcards played this week by idiots. And the highest points you could have got was 129. Which I think so Jamie Heath's score was actually pretty impressive.
I'll tell you when you want to play your wild card. Christmas weekend.
Absolutely.
Two matches in 3 days.
Can't wait for that wildcard tip. It's going to be superb.
And that is your
stat attack.
Right.
Great. Oh, that was a lovely, like, clean finish. So, you know what? I've been talking in the break about what we're going to talk about. And
he has it thrilling.
It's good. Yeah.
Get move. I'm going to save you time. Move to the edge of your seat.
because
strapping. Yeah,
we've had like a creative debate about what we should talk about, and there's only one topic this week that we should, and that's the issue of the
Donald
dubious
Trump.
Goals. Donald Trump is up there, but the dubious
snake gate.
But a minor consolation goal for West Ham dubious goal committee is definitely above it. It goes that, then Trump. That'll be the hashtags that I see on Twitter trending tonight. It'll be Alonso crime. Alonso was robbed, and then Donald Trump got in. That'll be the two. But the goal of Mikhail Antonio for West Ham, who was got a perfectly legitimate goal. It was going in, but it's been turned into an own goal. And I watched that match today with you, Mike, over a delicious glass of Prosecco. And we both agreed that it was an absolute crime, didn't we?
Yeah.
And so did Gary Lineker.
You're killing people's fantasy teams, you know.
That's what he said. In fact, I think that should be our new like slogan at the start of the show, just that repeated for
it's,
5 minutes.
It's our mission statement.
Yeah.
We're killing fantasy teams. Okay.
Yeah. That could be quite... In fact, that could be a good new name for the show.
You're killing people's fantasy teams.
That'd be good.
I do have a show about pets. I'm killing people's cats. Well, I say it's a
next
show.
Next on Food by
I
Radio.
Say it's a show. I just I record it into my phone and I kill cats.
So does Johnny Evans.
Yeah.
But the...
if he can kick them. He can't. He misses them.
Oh, allegedly.
Oh, Johnny. We don't know why we hate you.
But this is the question I've got. I know we haven't got long enough to talk about this, but and this can be an ongoing segment, which I'm sure we'll enjoy. But I've been trying to find out who's on the dubious goals panel, the dubious goals committee. Apparently it's like one of those like really secret, it's like the Death Eaters in Harry Potter. Like, you know, you don't know whether one of them's going to come out.
Or the pools panel.
Yeah, or gay footballers.
I mean, who was on the pools panel?
Who was
you not know? It's the guy in the office next door.
Pulse panel, score draw.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're just a man having a guess.
It's just a monkey's with typewriters.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, oh, it's actually like, I would imagine, because it was of that time, it's like a proper bullseye-esque darts player just going, throwing a dart in, going, oh, it came out, score draw. Wearing a great tracksuit. Look at what you could have won, Mike. Look at what you could have won.
If you know who's on the committee, tweet us at Good Team on Paper. With a hashtag, who is on the committee?
I'm fairly sure that a very simple search would find it out.
No, it doesn't, because the Daily Mail and the guy, I did this on the bus.
You read the Daily Mail?
No, I did this on the bus coming here. I googled who's on the dubious goals panel and said it's the most closely guarded secret in football, apart from why Johnny Evans was...
apart from all the secrets that FIFA...
Hello, FIFA.
Yeah.
Hello, FIFA.
FIFA, who have... more secret bank accounts than there are footballers.
But the dubious
allegedly.
Goal, yeah, the dubious goal panel. Definitely. The dubious goals panel is the biggest mystery in football today and one that I am determined to solve.
So was his shot on target?
Absolutely.
Then it's not a dubious goal.
That's what I said. They're human. They're fallible.
Yeah.
Did you know that until like, I think it was about a year ago, a couple of years ago, I think it's different now, that in the championship... or league.
I'm aware of the championship,
the
as a Leeds
division,
fan.
As it should be called. They didn't have a dubious goals committee, so it's decided just by the individual clubs, like the guy up at the top who goes, next that goal scored by Rod Wallace. So it just used to have like completely different figures.
Rod Wallace never played in the second tier. That, you crazy
that's
shit.
True, sorry. But
you think it's a mysterious panel, do you?
I do, yeah.
Okay, let's play the Harry Potter theme.
Well, like, if the great Troy Deeney is like the head of a mysterious wizarding cult that goes on dubious goals.
It's Lee Chapman, the man who lived, come to die.
Welcome to the world of illusion.
Oh, wow, I can't believe we got him in. Thanks, Troy.
Troy, I told you about this. I'll validate your parking in a minute. Christ.
But we can't go without talking about one of the best own goals I've seen in years. Ali will be very familiar with this one. What's his name? Wimmer? Vimmer? Mm. What a header!
That was
that was beautiful. I mean, he rose like the proverbial salmon.
That was a great header. And probably the only way that Arsenal were going to score, given they...
Well, I don't know. They had their moments. But yeah, it was reminiscent of Lee Dixon lobbing semen from 30 yards, so to speak.
And Jimmy Traore, though, was the best own goal ever scored when he Cruyff turned on his own goal line and put it in.
He twatted it in as well.
He Cruyff turned it in, and then like just kind of looked at it and then went, yeah, just I'm going to smack it in as well.
And then there was the lad from the lower leagues, what, Jimmy Brass or something was he called?
I don't know this one.
He kicked it into his own face.
That was it.
He tried to hook it clear, belted it into his own face, and it went in the goal.
I mean, if
and that's literally insult added to injury.
I think what this needs is for somebody to spend a tedious amount of time looking at all the great own goals in history and making a elaborate online video, Ali.
Well, I can tell you, Michael Dewberry, remember him?
Yep.
Old 50p head. He scored with a header from the edge of the box against Nigel Martin during his Leeds days.
Scoring past Nigel Martin's pretty impressive anyway.
It is.
I mean, yeah. Head like a 50 pence piece. That's been used for, like, I think Emin Heskey was described as that. We've got
Bruno.
Yeah. What?
Bruno.
Bruno?
That was his name. When he was playing for Leicester City. Yeah.
Oh, because like, he was the only other black guy.
Because they're both black men.
Yeah, yeah.
In fairness,
I don't know about that. I'm currently holding up my hands and saying I don't know.
What was the name of the Nigerian striker who was the first black guy ever to play for Everton?
Oh, good. Oh, terrific.
What was his name?
Dixie Dean, I think.
No.
Was it Dixie Dean? Was it Tony Cotty?
When you said, oh, good, oh, terrific, I thought that was his name. That's really
Well, they do have, like... Well, the president of Nigeria was Good Luck Jonathan.
Definitely not.
Was that referring
a man who stole £20 billion from the National Treasury during the years 2009 to 2012?
I thought that was a message to Johnny Evans. Oh, there we are. Good luck, Jonathan. If he wanted to take over a small African country, then I would support him because it would get him out of the Premier League. Yep.
Can we talk about predictions for next week?
Yeah, there's no football.
No football.
So. All right, can we talk about...
Daniel Amakachi.
Oh!
Daniel Amakachi in 1994, the first black guy to play for Everton. In 1994!
This is definitely a Rob Story moment.
100 years old!
We do pay the living wage now.
There was a beautiful time where Everton weren't soiled by multicoloured skins. When everyone just looked roughly the same apart from the odd ginger or baldo. But then... Victor Anachebe. No, Daniel Amakachi. Then Daniel Amakachi came along and changed everything. Not necessarily the goals for column, because he had a dreadful old time. But he changed. He broke down a barrier. He became the first black player to play for Everton, which I think is shocking and appalling. And
is it as shocking as... entirely misremembering his name and confusing him with another black dude he played for, I think, is that shocking?
Do
you mean that what's shocking and appalling is the fact that they let him play? Is that what you're implying? like Trump-esque. No,
but it's similar when I think they used to have a rule about Catholics and Protestants and stuff. It's just there's no Everton place for it.
I don't think we could have the soothing music when he's making deeply racist sentiment.
But another thing that bothers me as well about this whole thing: first black player ever to play for England. Who was it?
Carlton Dean.
Carlton Palmer isn't one of any quality. Barnes, perhaps.
No.
It would have been in the '70s, wouldn't it? Cyril Regis. No.
Yeah.
Viv Anderson.
That's what the books all tell you. It was Paul Reaney.
Paul Reaney?
Paul Reaney of Leeds United was the first black player ever to play for England. But because he didn't look black,
right,
he doesn't get referenced as the first. And it's...
The exec producer is looking this up very quickly. He's
Is this like a Trump-esque, we're going to build a wall around Goodison Park? And like,
it's just a reminder that the fact that we haven't got an openly gay player yet is an indicator that football's still got a hell of a long way to go.
And I think
happened in history, and some of that stuff isn't great at the moment. Stuff is better, but it's
right.
Not
we've got 90 seconds left.
I want to point out that I think that four white middle class men on a niche football show are definitely the people to address this issue.
I'm reasonably certain that by putting up a bad thing about Trump on my Facebook, I've cured the world.
That's
so
fine. Yeah.
Okay.
We've made up for it.
Good.
Yeah. We're neutral.
Are we supposed to? Oh, we don't like Trump. I've got a lot of making up to do.
That hashtag has gone really wrong.
Right, very quickly, I'm going to play this.
6, 3, 6, 2, 7, 2, 7, 9, 0, 4, 5, 6.
We're coming to the end of the show this week. What do you think? Yeah, no, are we happy?
What, do we have anything left to talk about?
Yeah.
I've got another 30 minutes of material here.
Okay,
honest.
Well, in that case, then we really need to hit this. That has been Good Team on Paper. Thank you very much for checking us out. We'll be back next week. I won't be here, nor will Deck, unfortunately, so you're going to have to deal with Bundo and Rob.
Oh, Christ, you have to press some buttons.
Good luck, guys.
We need a detailed handover document.
I'll sort that out. Thanks very much for checking us out. I've been Mike.
I've been Victor Anachebi.
You can find me at Silla Black on Twitter.
And I've been Barry Horn.